One of the things we always try to do is to make sense of situations that are going on around us. We take in information, we pass it through the things we've experienced before, maybe look into something, get some more input, some truth, so then we can navigate the world in a healthy way. It's interesting that in this passage of Scripture, and from the things that Juan had said bringing in about Thomas, is the idea that sometimes the information we have is in conflict with what is real and true. So what do we do with that? Well, it's a challenge, because throughout this passage we've seen the Nicodemus struggling with what he knew to be true and what he thought to be true about Jesus, and then when Jesus tells him a truth, he all of a sudden it blows his mind because it doesn't sound logical. John's disciples struggle with this truth. John understands it. He says he must become more, I must become less. But they were holding on to old ways of thinking of, well, obviously, if we've got a movement going here, we got to keep it going. We've got to keep allowing more people to come. We've got to increase our numbers. John says, no, my position is to lead into the big gathering. So we become less. And that's hard for us because we are always fighting this idea that we want to be more and we want people to see how important we are. So we arrange our world in a way that makes sense to us, but oftentimes doubts arise. Again, we see Thomas doubting. I won't believe unless I see a proof. Well, sometimes that's what we do too. You have to prove it to me. But we have to realize, and we've talked about recently, is how we don't see things always clearly. We see life through a glass that is wavy. We see through a distortion, and we have to be aware that those distortions are there. To realize that sometimes we might be missing or misunderstanding something. But that doesn't mean we don't keep trying to make sense of the world the way it is, the way God has designed it. So have you ever struggled with something because it didn't make sense to you? I think it happens to us all the time. And we want it to make sense to us because when it doesn't make sense, we feel a little off balance. And we can almost feel like if I'm going to do something that makes me feel foolish, then it must be wrong. But maybe it's right, but your perception isn't accepting the reality. So we ask the question when in this passage, if God so loves, then why? Well, you can fill in the blank. We often have, well, if God so loves, then why did this happen? If God so loves, then why did that take place? Because we're trying to understand God from our perspective, because one of the things that we will say, well, that's not how I would do it, because we think we're all-knowing and all-seeing, we're omniscient, omnipotent, because it doesn't make sense to me. That's really where it comes from. That's not how I would do it. I could see how it would be better in a different way. Well, the problem that we have is we only see a small portion of all reality. God sees all reality at once. And he sees things and how they work in a way that benefits us that we can't see. And then we struggle with God because he's doing it a certain way, which is actually the best way for us to bring us about where he wants us to be, because he loves us. For God so loves, everything he's doing is trying to get us to grow in our relationship with him in wholeness with ourselves. And one of the things that the Isaiah says is, my thoughts are not your thoughts. Neither are my ways your ways. But for him to be found, we have to submit to that God sees it all and he understands how it fits, and we have to submit to it. Well, being good humans and even good Americans, submission is one of the last things we want to do, right? We always call for our rights. We don't lean into submission very well. Well, that could be a problem when we're trying to have a relationship with God. And he says, this is the best way. Will you trust me? And that's where it comes down to, is we trust ourselves rather than God. But we have to remember that he sees it all. My way is not your way, but your life is my priority. That's God's nature. Will we trust it? In Jeremiah, the people are told, you're going to go off in captivity. Make yourself comfortable because you're going to be there for a while. But trust me. I will bring you back because I desire to prosper you, not to harm you. That's the nature of God. I have plans for a hopeful future. But they're thinking, but I would rather be in my homeland, in my own house, rather than be in a foreign land, in a foreign house. That's what makes sense to me, God. How could this be to my benefit? And ultimately, it says, because what I'm trying to do is get you to trust in me rather than yourself. And that is humanity's ultimate problem. We trust in ourselves more than the one who made us. We seek short-term gratification because it makes sense to us. But it's due to short-sightedness. Now, what do we do with that? Short-term gratification due to short-sightedness can get in the way of long-term relationship. We believe it will provide a long-term satisfaction, whatever the it is. But because we can't see all things and we can't see all the contingencies that happen when we make a choice, and when it goes wrong, we go, oh, I didn't see that coming. Right, because you can't see it all. Short-circuiting our trust in God, it focuses our trust in ourselves. The switch goes off. And sometimes we can even think, well, I'm following God, but really we're following ourselves and we're just creating a God who supports the things we believe in. God says, it doesn't work that way. In the beginning, the problem with humanity is I have this short-sighted interest. I want to be like God. I want to eat that fruit. And the serpent is there feeding into that short-sighted, selfish perspective. Well, surely God didn't say. Yeah, he didn't say it that way. Well, surely God is just trying to keep you from understanding good and evil. Yeah, why would God not want me to understand the difference between good and evil? Wouldn't you rather not understand what evil is? The reason we understand evil is because we live in a world where there is evil. But in the beginning, they're thinking, no, God is trying to hold something back from me. I want to know good and evil because I will be like God. And really what humanity is saying, I want to be God instead of God. I want it my way rather than God's way. And God is sitting there going, no, you don't. In the long run, you don't want it your way. You really want it my way if you would just trust my way. And this is our reasoned one. We make sense of it, and Satan is just sitting there feeding our selfishness. In Deuteronomy, the people are told, when you go into the land, I'm going to give you all these things, but the one thing I know what's going to happen to you is once you settle down, you're going to just appreciate what's going on and that you have this land of promise. But what I know you will do is you will become complacent. What you'll do is you will forget who gave you this place. You will become proud, thinking you're the ones that earned it yourself. You'll forget the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt, out of slavery. And how often we do that, thinking, okay, well now I can create my life my way. God will let us do it. But ultimately what he knows is that it leads us back into slavery. We give ourselves to be slaves of something else. And one of the things the Apostle Paul says, we will be a slave to something, either to good or evil. we get to choose. Isn't that nice of God to let us choose? He's not holding it back from us. He's just wanting to give it to us. This is a copperhead. I don't know, what do you think of snakes? One of the guys at camp, he just loves bugs and snakes, and you know, sometimes he'll find a snake and he'll show it to everybody. You can see the people who really have this get it away. And then there's other people go, oh, can I hold it? Well, you don't want to hold this snake, at least if you don't know how to hold a venomous snake. When I was in college, I worked at a campgrounds in the summertime, and we got a report that there was a snake in one of the lots of the campgrounds right near the trailer. So we grabbed some things, and we look, and lo and behold, it's a copperhead. I'd never seen a rattlesnake before, or a poisonous snake. I'm going, oh no. Now what am I going to do? Well, I have this shovel, and I wish it was telescoping, you know, where you turn it and it gets longer and longer, because the thing I didn't want to do is get close to this snake, because I knew the potential it had to cause me harm. But I also knew if I didn't do anything about this, the potential harm to other people increased. I had to act. So you step back, you get the shovel, and you just go, oh, just give me one good shot. Luckily, one good shot's all it took. Just hit the shovel in it, and it hit it in the neck, and it was gone. And all of a sudden, all that energy just goes, phew. You go, oh, man, I'm glad that's over. It was scary, because we know that something that can harm us, we don't want to be near it. We want to get away from it, if it makes sense to us. You know who this guy is? This is Woody from Toy Story. One of the things that Woody says is, I've got a snake in my boot. Well, isn't it interesting that having a snake in your boot is really not where you want your snake, especially if it's venomous, because it's too close. The problem with humanity is we're like Woody. We have a snake in our boot. We get too close to that which can harm us, and we can't become comfortable with it. And we're around it. The closer we get to the snake, the more likely we can be bit. And that's the problem with humanity. And why didn't Eve just say, I'm not going to listen to you. I'm getting away from you. Because the serpent said something that satisfied and made sense. That can happen to us. So we have to be careful. One of the things that Jesus says in the beginning of this passage in John to Nicodemus basically is, Nicodemus, we're all snake bit. Now, Nicodemus, in his mind, he's thinking this idea of needing to be born again, born from above, doesn't make sense to him, because on the eighth day, he was circumcised in the community of God, into the kingdom of God, basically. And what do you mean to see and to be a part of the kingdom of God? I need to be born from above, born again. I'm already part of the kingdom, and it doesn't make sense. He says, well, how can you understand the spiritual things if you don't understand the earthly things? I've come to you with truth, Nicodemus, and you resist it because you have all this pre-understanding about how you think the world works and how God wants you to interact with him, and those times are changing. Are you going to be open to a new way, a new understanding? Because Nicodemus comes to him and says, we know that you're a teacher that is from God because of the miracles. We're not going to argue the point. Some of them would, because they assign many of his miracles not to the power of God, but the power of Satan. But he wants Nicodemus to realize that being born again, being born from above, encompasses all people. This Spirit is going to allow all people into God's kingdom. It's not just going to go to, as John 1 says, it's not going to be about natural birth or genealogy or a father's decision, but you're going to be born of God. It's a new way of entering this relationship. This physical birth brings life and it brings likeness of God, but one of the things that rebellion does is it brings spiritual death. We're snake bit, and the venom is in us when we rebel, and eventually it's going to kill us unless we have someone come and take the sting away. You're in need of an antidote. And if you're snake bit, I'm sure that's the first thing you're going to want someone to do is make sure I don't die. And because God is a God of love, he does that. This idea of Jesus says, the Son of Man must be lifted up, just like Moses lifted up the snake. We're going through these understandings of the journey to the promised land. The people have rebelled against God, and he says, okay, if you don't want to go up into the land I'm going to give you because you're afraid of the people there, that I can overcome because I gave them the land, I can take it away, then you guys are going to spend 40 years in the desert. They go, no, we'll go up and we'll take the land now. And he says, go ahead and try. I won't go with you. You can do it on your own strength. You can do it on your own understanding, but it's not going to work because I'm not with you. And they tried and they got defeated and they come back and they go, oh, see, look what God's done to us. See how we always want to trade blame? Well, God could do it differently. He could make the people leave. Yeah, he could. But for some reason, he doesn't want to. And we learn later why he doesn't want to is because they will become proud. And he doesn't want that either. So as the people, they just win a defeat in Numbers 21. They're a victory over another army. And they come back and they're complaining again about the food and the things that are going on. And God sends venomous snakes into the camp. All of a sudden, they're getting snake bit, and they're going, Moses, do something. Well, why did they go to Moses? Because they know Moses has a path to God, and every time they go to Moses to go to God, things change for their better until they start complaining again. He says, okay, I'll pray. He prays. God says, this is what I want you to do. Now, the people asked, take the snakes away. That's their prayer. God does not give them what they want. Oh, what a mean God. What does God give them? He gives them an antidote. He gives them a way to live in the midst of snake bit. He says, take us bronze, make a snake, put it on a pole. And whoever looks at the snake will be healed. Well, that's the silliest thing I've ever heard. How could anybody looking at a brass snake be healed from a snake bite? Well, because God said so. Does it make sense? No. Well, then don't do it. Isn't that the thing that we always struggle with? It's God says, here's the way to do it. It doesn't make sense to me. Then don't do it. But guess what's going to happen? This God of love, this God who wants you to be healed, is going to stand there waiting with the antidote for you, and you resist it because it doesn't make sense. He doesn't take the snakes away. I wonder why. Is it to let the people realize? Is it see the snakes that are around you that you fear that could kill you? Doesn't it make you remember that you have to look to me to make sure that you live? Well, we don't like that. Because then we have to trust something else, someone else, for our well-being. And as Jesus is lifted up, he says to Nicodemus, those who look upon me will be healed. And this belief isn't just an understanding that, yeah, I believe that Jesus died on a cross. That's not what he wants you to believe. Everybody that saw Jesus die on a cross knew that he died on a cross. It's why he died on a cross. His dying on a cross was going back to the Genesis story that I will put enmity between you and the woman, between your offspring and her offspring, and he will crush your head and you will strike his heel. As Jesus is killing the snake for our benefit, he takes the lethal bite. And him on the cross takes all of the poison into himself for those who will believe that he is the way for healing. He is the source of our help. So the question that Nicodemus is left with, will the leaders submit and repent and say, yes, we believe that your way is the right way, even though it doesn't make full sense to us, even though it means that this old system of offering sacrifices at the temple is out of date now? Or will they resist and continue to rebel? Many of them resisted and rebelled, but there were others who submitted and repented. What will they do? Do they have to have proof first? Will it have to make sense first? One of the things about our response is we see in John, is he says, I have to understand my place. The question is, how come Jesus and his disciples are baptizing more people now? What we see is this new birth, this birth from above being played out in the ministry of John and ultimately in the ministry of Jesus. He tells them, this is what you need to be healed, and then they go and demonstrate, this is the way it works out. Does it make sense to be dunked in water that you get an antidote from being snake bit? Not to most people. Does it have to make sense? If God said, this is the way back to God. For some people, yes. But we have to ask ourselves, do we want death or life? So our response has to be an acceptance that we live in a world where everybody is snake bit. That everybody's going to die because of the poison that is coursing through their veins, which is self-interest and selfishness. We can resist and rebel, and it keeps us closer to the snake. God's nature is love, and he desires to bless. Will we accept that? And will you accept resistance and rebellion keeps you away from the love and the blessing? We can't have both. But that's really what we say we want. Back to the garden again. We want what we think we need, even though it's in opposition to what God says we need. That's the eternal challenge. So what do we have to do? We have to slow down in those moments and say, I want to see God. What does he want in this situation? We have to trust his way, not our way, because his way is so far above our way. And ultimately, the only way you can do that is by being in his word, in learning who this God is that is saving you from yourself, so that you can have life, not just now, but eternal life. And that's what Jesus has died for. If you have questions about what this all means, give us a call, send us a text, send us an email, whatever it is. We want to help you understand this world in which you live that's snake bit, and that God has sent Jesus to take the venom for us so that we can live better lives now and eternal lives in the future. Our God's nature is loving and desiring to bless. Will you accept his call? He died for us. What a great God.